Welcome to BCMC Pop Culture Man and Children. I'm your host, Mike Mangiorno. I'm joined today by my good friend and yours, Ms. Janine Gagliardi.
Hello.
Janine, how are you?
I'm good. We've had a long day. The longest day.
Yeah.
So many trains, planes, and automobiles, just so many activities, so many things. And then we were just having a discussion about sleep right before we started recording, and my sleep was so rough last night. Like,
really rough.
One of the kids came in at 2. One of the kids, or actually, no, I had to use the bathroom at 2. One of the kids came in at 3. Mm. And then my aunt was having surgery today. Oh. It went well. She's recovering well. But she called me the day before and said, I don't know how to set the alarm on my phone. I have to get up like at 4:30. And so she's like, do you think you could call me? And I was like, yeah, we could call you.
Aww.
So I set my alarm, then called her at 4:30. Then Aww. The kids had to go to school. So I was just like,
that's rough.
I'm so tired.
That is rough.
And it is after 11 p.m. So, you know.
Wow.
We're doing good over here.
Wow.
And I'm hosting a party tomorrow.
Wow, you certainly are. Looking forward to it.
Oh, can we?
So this episode was your weird idea.
Yes.
But I
actually, technically, I think it's Bill's. Bill suggested it.
William.
Yeah, I just get these ideas.
Well, just strike.
I've been saying since 400, I've been telling people. This is the edict. Weird. Give me weird
this
ideas.
This is the weird
I
100.
I want weird ideas.
The weird 100.
Yeah.
I like it.
This
is our episode for the furries.
Yeah. This is...
We're not going to kink shame anybody in this episode.
Our favorite anthropomorphic animals.
That's right. Anthropomorphic for people playing the game at home. Animal, object, anything that isn't human that takes on human-like qualities.
Yes, yes.
Brave little toaster.
Yes.
You know,
this is very natural to us.
Yeah.
Have you ever read The God Delusion?
No.
So I have. And I find Richard Dawkins very annoying. But I've read God Delusion, and I feel like no one understands what that book is about. That book is about this. He's basically... what he's basically saying is we have in our minds as part of our preservation, as part of our survival instincts, mm-hmm. when we look at something, we try to figure out if it has a consciousness and if it's a threat to us.
Yeah.
And this is why you'll lose a video game and throw the controller, or you'll bump your foot on a chair and get mad at the chair.
At the chair, yeah.
Right? And he's saying it's why we look at the universe and anthropomorphize it by thinking there's a God. So it's a very interesting atheism book, because it basically says it's absolutely natural for you to believe in God, but I just want you to know that your belief in God is just something your brain naturally does.
Just like the way we see faces and everything.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Because we're trained to recognize faces, so we put faces where they aren't.
Absolutely. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So
that's so interesting to think of the universe as something akin to the chair you got mad at. It's like the universe has to have a personality, and the personality is God.
We assume, or we at least question consciousness and everything.
Yeah.
That it could think and it could, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it shows that we're like just scared little primates.
Yeah.
We're like, oh, well, what is that? Oh.
Right, like if the sun goes down, is it going to come up tomorrow?
And you see it in Peach, like she gets any bag. Yeah. If a bag goes crinkle, she's like, oh, God, oh.
Right, it's a threat.
Oh, God, I hate it.
She's not wrong.
She's on CBD now.
Is she?
Yeah.
Dog CBD?
Yeah.
Dang.
She's a worried little guy. She was panting too much.
Oh.
So we were like, oh, God, what's wrong with her now?
Is that something with her breed? Is it like...
Not particularly, I don't think.
Oh, okay.
So, but we took
my mom had a Cavachon, and she was a nervous wreck.
It could be. I think all small breed, or all like, you know, all those like designer dogs, or all bred to shit. They're just cute and useless, and just evolutionarily, like just they're just nothing. They're just garbage. You know, they're like the royal family. They're just inbred to nothing.
Yeah.
So no, she's Peach is 3. She's had 3 UTIs, pancreatitis.
Oh my god.
God, what else?
Not pancreatitis.
Yeah, and now she has special diet because of the pancreatitis. Yeah. We have to wipe her vagina.
Yes, you've said that before.
After she pees because
it's
of her.
It's very upsetting.
Yeah. She's so fucking high maintenance. So anyway, she's pants. So we took her to the vet, and the vet's like, let's check her heart. So we gave her some very expensive tests.
Oh my God.
Very expensive tests. Me and Jen split it, and it was a lot. And of course the test came back saying that she's totally fine. So because she has an arrhythmia. So they thought it could be, but there's nothing wrong with her heart. So they're like, she's probably just nervous.
Bill has an arrhythmia.
Oh yeah?
He's very nervous.
Yeah.
Not anymore though.
Not anymore.
Thanks, Lexapro.
Yeah. Well, now
Peach is giving a thumbs up.
Now Peach is on the CBD.
All right.
But wait, it's better. So the other day she peed on my bed, and then
that is better.
But like, if she has to pee, she'll bark and be like, "I gotta go pee."
She'll let you know. Okay.
But I think she's getting too high and just becoming incontinent.
Oh no!
So now the vet's like, give her less CBD.
Oh.
Her constitution is so
delicate. Yeah.
That any little thing, like, we'll be like a warm breeze comes in, she's like burp, burp, burp. She's like immediately in a hospital. she's the fucking worst.
Oh my God. What's her personality? What's her anthropomorphized personality?
Well, it's interesting you say that. And I think this is true for all dog owners.
Yeah.
Me and Jen together have generated a persona for her.
Yeah, yeah.
That, so she's very like, she calls us mommy and daddy.
Yeah.
She's very weird guy. She is a weird little guy. She does weird things.
Yeah. Everybody does that for their pet though. Yeah. Everyone does it. Like our dog our old dog had a voice.
Yeah.
And he'd always call us mommy and daddy.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
And he'd be like, thank you, mommy. That was his voice.
Peach would be like, hey, daddy, I love you, daddy. You know, like she wants to lick, she'll lick the top of my head, but doesn't,
it's salty up there,
but doesn't want to stop ever. So she'd be like, oh, let me do it forever, daddy.
You're like a human salt lick.
Yes. Everything she wants to do forever.
I do it forever.
And now that she's had these heart tests, even though her heart's healthy, she plays it up and she's like, oh, daddy, my heart, if you push her away. I'm going to do this a lot this episode. Yeah,
it's a rough, it's a tough word.
Anthropomorphizing your pets is a part of pet ownership.
It is. It really is.
Yeah. So the one edict I gave you was, I said, these can't just be all Disney sidekicks. All Disney,
yeah.
So I have a pretty good list. I have like 1, 2, 3,
a lot of mine are Disney, but they're not some sidekicks necessarily.
I have 7. How many do you have? I have 7 and 2 honorable mentions.
I have 8.
You know what?
But I don't think, I mean, I could just throw 5 at you and mention the other 2.
You know, who cares? You know, we don't need the numbers. Let's just do it.
I think we're going to have some crossover.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Because you sent me something and I was like, oh, this is an item on the list.
Oh, okay, okay. Mm-hmm. You want to go first? You want me to go first?
Sure.
Oh, wait, I forgot to ask you, what inspired this? Where'd you get this idea?
This was Bill.
Bill, where'd you get this idea?
I think we were just watching like Lion King or something.
We watch a lot of Disney,
So like it was a Disney idea.
Mm.
So.
Lion King, my favorite. Timon. Yeah. Love Nathan Lane.
What's wrong with the new one? Not anthropomorphic enough.
Ah, dead eyes.
Dead eyes. Dead behind it's the really eyes. Weird.
Yeah.
Feels like a nature documentary that just has people doing voiceover on it.
Yeah.
Except for that new Mufasa one, they tiled it back.
Okay.
I haven't seen it all the way through either, but if you look at images from it, their faces are moving more.
Oh, okay. Making it more cartoony.
Yes.
Yeah, they got too into the weeds with like
hyper-realism. Yeah.
Because people would call it the live-action Lion King, which of course it wasn't.
No, not,
but it looks
not even a little bit.
Enough like a live-action documentary that you're like, what's happening here exactly?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, all right. So... after you, ladies first.
Okay. So I'm going to start with Jake the dog.
Okay.
Since we were talking about dogs and going, you know, a segue. So Jake the dog is the brother of Finn the human on Adventure Time. He's voiced by cartoon legend John DiMaggio.
Great. His most subtle and versatile role, I think.
I think so too.
He's not just doing one thing like Bender is.
Yeah, yeah.
He's doing different. He's feeling different things, doing different
things.
He's
a very emotional character.
Yes.
And he's great because Finn is obviously a kid, especially in the early seasons. He's like a child, but Jake always feels like an adult, and also his brother, which is always interesting because
right, he kind of takes care of him a little bit, but yeah. also will give him tough love when he needs to.
Yeah,
he also has his own brother, voiced by Tom Sharpling.
That's right, but we don't find out much about Jake's family or how Finn.
We find out later on, like his yeah. dad.
Actually, I think one of the earlier seasons, we find out that Finn was taken in by the family.
Yes.
Found in the woods.
Wasn't his dad a dog? And then, yeah. like, someone else was an alien, and that's why he could shapeshift yes. or something? He's yeah. like half dog, half alien.
Half alien. That's right.
I've been watching these deep lore videos about, because Fiona and Cake is coming back for season yeah. two.
Which I haven't seen any of season one, so.
It's good, but it's more adult and yeah. it's further in the timeline, like Finn's an adult in it, and yeah. he's old and he has like a tattoo of Jake.
Of Jake, yeah.
But there was a couple episodes, maybe it was even Adventure Time, that's like way in the future and it's sort of post-apocalyptic. Mm. And the children of Jake yeah. and the Rainicorn
yeah.
Like destroyed the world.
Whoa, really?
Yeah. Oh, they're wow. they're the big bads.
The big bad
in the future of wow. the lore gets so deep in that show.
Oh my god! And the lore is already pretty deep on Adventure Time as it yeah. is. So yeah, straight forward yeah. season one stuff without all the backstory and yeah. like additional lore. It's just that they are brothers who go on adventures.
Yeah.
And Jake is much more chill, laid back. He likes to have, you know, like hangout time. Whereas Finn is the more like he drives the adventures.
Yeah.
But Jake has the superpowers.
Yes. So this is our first crossover. I have this on my list as well.
Okay.
Have you seen the episode of the not from the original show, but the series that was like four different little stories?
No, the one where he goes to where he dies.
Yes.
I haven't seen that one.
It's so good. It's what the finale of the original show should have been.
Although I did like the finale.
I do like the finale. Mm. I like a finale that like jumps ahead and it's like they're like reincarnations of Jake and Finn or something like that. If I'm remembering, it's very heartfelt. It's like Jake dies and Finn like goes to heaven to find him. Mm. It's super emotional. It's so good.
Cause it's the icon, like the imagery of a boy and his dog. Right. Yeah. But in fact, their relationship is so much more complex than that.
That's so true. And the dog seems to be much more have a handle on things.
Yeah.
At least in the beginning.
Yeah. That's when you see the alternate dimension where Jake is just a dog.
Yeah, yeah,
it feels so wrong.
You're right, right. One of the things that I think will come up on this list a few times is that with anthropomorphization, sometimes to get them towards human, you sometimes have to forego like actual traits that their animal has. But then there's sometimes where they're only vaguely the thing. And I feel like this is true for Jake. He's vaguely the silhouette of a dog.
Right.
Right? But like he stands on two legs.
Yeah.
He has weird eyes. Yeah. Like he's kind of a dog.
He doesn't really look like a dog. And it's all CalArt style, so it's like very simple to begin with.
Right. Right, right. But Jake, yeah. Great character.
I love Jake.
Great character.
Just love him. He has great songs. He just seems like a guy you would want to have fun with, hang out with. Yeah, he's a great hang.
He'll make you pancakes.
Bacon pancakes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, he's fantastic. Voice of reason that you need sometimes.
Frequently, yeah.
Especially Finn sometimes would like lose his shit.
Yeah.
And like just
he'd be screaming and yeah. Jake's like, chill out, man.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah.
And he actually he has inspired Bill's mantra. One of Bill's like life mantras, which is sucking at something is the first step to being kind of good at something.
That's so true.
Yeah.
The wisdom
of a dog.
Of a dog. I'll get this one out of the way.
Okay.
Mickey Mouse.
He's on my list too.
Of course he is.
It's going to be a short episode.
But he is... Yeah, right.
He's the anthropomorphic...
But he's also...
Dude.
Like I was just saying, so vaguely a mouse.
Right. Yes. He's the,
mice
he's
don't just, have round ears. What is that?
No, they don't.
They don't have circle ears. They have ear-looking ears. He's also person-sized, yes. Right? He has a dog.
He owns a dog.
He owns a dog.
Yeah.
So bless you. You know, if he's a mouse because we know he's a mouse. Mm-hmm. Like, he has a tail.
Yeah.
And I guess he has a mouse nose, but really, like, I feel like our idea of what a mouse looks like is more informed by him than he's informed by the way a mouse looks like.
Like,
really, you're looking at a mouse, it's like, where does Mickey come from?
Well, there's, so you sent me this video about why so many ducks in cartoons.
Yes.
And the there's like a sister video to that, which is why so many mice?
Yeah.
And they're like, well, mice have a very simple round shape. I'm like, well, I guess, like, their whole body is round, but they don't have, like, a big round head on top of a big round body. Like,
Mickey has a round shape.
Mickey has a huge round, like, Mickey has three circles.
Yeah.
But all the hidden Mickeys you'll ever see is just a big circle and then two smaller circles.
Right, he's, and
that's not what a mouse looks like.
As he evolved, he became less mouse. Because, like, in the beginning, if you look like Plain Crazy or, like, Steamboat Willie, he's got more of a long nose. He looks a little bit more mousy, but then as time goes on, like if you get into like the 50s stuff, he has like flesh tone, right? And he looks very
and that's still
like
what
a
he
person.
Looks like in the parks,
yeah.
He's flesh tone.
Yeah. It's very weird. He's like
flesh. I mean, I'm saying like a white man.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
He
you're
looks
right.
Like
right.
A white man mouse.
Yeah.
It's strange.
He's sort of a weird like amalgam of like a mouse and a white man went into like the fly machine.
Yeah.
And they came
and
out
also,
as Mickey.
He's black. Like his arms, chest, legs, ears. I've never seen a black mouse. I'm sure they exist, but I've never seen one.
Yeah.
That's certainly not the conventional color of a mouse. Like a brown mouse, a gray mouse.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Black and white mouse. I mean.
No, yeah.
I get it because they were animating in black and white, but then later they just kept it.
It's also Mickey. I mean, Disney is not allowed to say this, but like Mickey comes from a lineage of minstrel performers.
Where they have a...
Where it's blackface.
Yeah.
And that's like where you get like the white gloves and shit. Like, especially early Mickey is like a trickster slash fool, which is like the minstrel kind of persona.
Right. And then
like, I'm up to no good, but I'm kind of just a fool at heart.
Yeah.
And then he got sweeter and nicer.
Right. They say he evolved into the well-meaning leader.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, he's the most anthropomorphized. I mean, Mickey Mouse.
And also in the earlier stuff, he barely wore clothing, you know?
Yeah.
He's got shorts, but no shirt and shoes.
Yeah.
That's
why
sometimes.
I hate the 50s stuff where he's like wearing suits
he's
and
wearing
shit.
Full
like,
suits,
what,
but he still
upsetting
does that in the
me.
Parks. He's in full outfits in the parks.
Well, that's a weird, different Mickey. Like, that's
it is.
That's cat
it's a
and
weird
coattails Mickey.
Yeah.
That's like, I've
you never
dressed
see
up
him
for
in
my
the
job.
Parks with like no shirt.
No, you never right? see like really Mickey Mickey.
Yeah.
It's really kind of a different kind of Mickey.
Yeah. And it's strange. It's strange because he's even bigger than a person when you're there. Like,
right.
he's the size of a large adult.
Yes.
His proportions are so huge, which I know, of course, is so an adult could fit in the suit. But, like,
yes,
it's just so imposing.
Yeah.
It's larger than life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, Mickey. I mean, Mickey is Mick, the, you know,
are you Mick Mouse?
Mick Mouse?
Mick Mouse?
And
what are you
also,
saying?
What are you saying? Mick
Get
Mouse.
Get on your rocket ship, Mick Mouse.
Mick Mouse. and also, it's, you know, it's an to that point, it is he's an icon of America.
Yes.
Right. Like, he's such a recognizable symbol.
Yeah.
From America. It's like something that people interpret like Mickey Mouse is American. Yeah.
You know, there's an old movie. I forget what it's called or who's in it. But it was like one of these movies that was like all the comedy stars of the day. And there's a sequence. Oh, is it Jimmy Durante? Where he it's live action movie. He like goes and like picks something up and it's Mickey Mouse animated, but he's small,
like
a mouse.
Yeah.
And he's like, look, everybody, it's Mickey Mouse. So it's like, I think so might have been Mickey Mouse's first like in a feature film. But it's so funny, you never see anything like that, him being mouse sized.
Yeah.
That's not something they do at all anymore.
Yeah, even in the Beanstalk one where he is small, but he's only small in comparison to a giant.
He doesn't eat cheese. Like, there's not
that's not true. Have you ever been to his house? I mean, come on.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's true.
You can see inside his fridge. It's all cheese.
But I feel like in the cartoons.
You know, he's never eating cheese. He's slicing a bean four ways.
We call him Mickey. Brother. I know. We call him Mickey Mouse, but he's not nothing mouse.
Right, he drives a convertible. He lives in a house. He owns a dog. Like
he owns a dog. Think about that.
Yeah. He's had many jobs. You know, he wears clothes. Yeah. He has a girlfriend, a long-term girlfriend that he does not live with.
Yeah. They live in sin. Well,
they don't live together. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's the one that started it all, and yet we've discussed this because we talked about the Wonderful World of Mickey Mouse where they really go wide with the character, which is so much fun.
Yeah.
But he's also like maybe the least interesting.
Yes, right. Like, no, absolutely.
What's he doing? What's his personality?
But that's also part of his power, which is he's almost just...
The symbol.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
He's just a floating signifier.
Yeah.
He just anybody can project themselves onto him.
Yeah.
What's your next one?
Okay. So... My next one is BoJack Horseman.
Ooh, that's a good one.
It's a good one. And it's a show of humans and animals living side by side, which some shows do.
Yeah.
This show does very well. And it's like all anthropomorphized animals. I don't know if they have anything where it's like a Mickey and Pluto situation where some animals are just animals. Not that I can think of.
Uh-huh.
And then there's great characters on. So BoJack Horseman is a horse played by Will Arnett. There's Mr. Peanut Butter, who's
I remember there's a weird episode where there's like they explain that there's animals that you eat and animals that you don't.
Oh,
do you remember that?
I don't, but I do.
There's
think
like
they
chicken,
eat
meat. Like
chicken for days. Yeah. Okay,
very weird.
Yeah, very weird like they world. Have to establish their own rules in their world.
But he's an interesting example of this phenomena because
he has hands.
He's also like he's such a real man. He's
yeah.
a real shitty man.
Yeah.
But he's also a horse.
Yes. And he has it's funny because there's almost nothing horse-like about him except for his face.
Yeah.
But until he wants to play Secretariat. Right?
Yes.
And like in the world, Secretariat is like a track star.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not so like horse racing is just running.
Yeah.
On two legs.
Yeah.
Which is so wild.
But he's so flawed.
He's so flawed.
He's so flawed. Even when he's like there are moments where you think he's almost going to do like be good and then he'll do something awful and you're like, oh my god,
I know, he's so disappointing on every level until basically the end where he does do the right thing.
I didn't see the end.
Oh, okay.
I haven't seen the last I think couple seasons.
Oh, okay. I mean, it really goes as bad as it can go for him.
I think the last thing I remember was when he like tried to like fuck the daughter of his friend, and like he had a good relationship with that whole family. Yes.
And they were like in the desert.
Yeah, and ruins it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. He's self-sabotaging.
Yeah.
It's a show with so much pathos.
Yeah.
And a really well written, well acted. And ultimately, I think a satisfying resolution.
Mm, okay.
To the series. So I definitely recommend it.
Okay. I've got to go back and actually.
But he's so shitty, and things play out so realistically in this very saturated color palette world where there's animals and humans walking around. Like, it's incredible how dark and real it can be.
Yeah
And it's sort of like it's almost like the world you're looking at is the sweet chaser to the sourness that you're watching play out. Like the bad stuff that you're watching play out is like the edge is taken off because you're watching like a crazy colorful cartoon about animals. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Is there some, otherwise, it could be too dark, that show.
Yeah. It's almost like a parody of animated anthropomorphized things. Because it's just a show about, like, shitty people, but it's like, oh, they're animals.
It's pretty bleak, honestly. Yeah. But, like, they're animals, so it's fun. It's
funny.
It's
fun, everybody. Yeah. Who should I go to next? All right, let's say Cringer from He-Man and the Masters of the Universe.
So see, now I don't know enough about that show because I didn't know he spoke or did anything like that.
He only speaks in his real identity as Cringer.
Okay. When he's what is it? Battle Cat or
Battle Cat?
Battle Cat.
When he's Battle Cat, he does sometimes. He'll be like, "Hey, let's do this."
Oh, I love that.
So Cringer is a green tiger with white with yellow stripes.
Mm.
The reason Cringer exists is because the toy company had a line of dolls that were like the size of like Barbie dolls.
Okay.
And there was a line made for boys that was called Big Jim, who was like kind of like an adventurer.
Okay.
And there was a tiger toy that was in scale for Big Jim, but they were like, you know, they were doing everything on the cheap. So they were like, He-Man needs like something to ride. So like, why don't we just take the Big Jim tiger, repaint it. And they're like, yeah, but that scale's wrong. And it's like, yeah, whatever. Like he'll ride him like a horse. And that's why Cringer exists.
Okay.
But in the he's just called Battle Cat in the toy. The cartoon names him Cringer because before Prince Adam becomes He-Man, Cringer is just this. He talks a lot, and his whole thing is he's scared.
Yeah.
He's scared of everything. He's like a real Chucky Finster. He's his little name is Cringer.
Right.
Everything's like, oh, I don't know about that, Adam. He even doesn't, and this is a little slightly disturbing. He even is scared of transforming. Like when Prince Adam says, "I have the power," and then like he'll point the sword at Cringer.
He's like, no.
He's like, "I don't know." But then he'll grow three sizes, and he'll be like, "Rah!"
Yeah.
And now he's ready to fuck shit up.
He takes his steroids.
Yeah. And he's right there in the beginning of every episode. He says, "I'm Adam, Prince of Eternia.
This is my
friend. This is Cringer, fearless my fearless friend."
Which is just, he's constantly dunking on Cringer.
I know.
Like, the fucking name. That's cruel to name him that.
There's a great moment in the, I think, season finale of the first season of He-Man, Master Universe Revelation, which was the first season, the first Netflix season that Kevin Smith did.
I've seen that one. Yeah. I've seen that season.
Where Prince Adam comes to like approach Evelyn and she says something like, "Who do you think you are?" And he's like, "I'm Adam, Prince of Eternia." And then Cringer comes and attacks her and he's like, "And that's Cringer, my fearless friend." Great reference to the opening. Cringer's not in the original movie because the original movie did everything on the cheap and changed things.
Yeah.
But the new trailer's not out, but some people have seen the trailer and there's trailer descriptions online and Cringer is in the new movie being Cringer.
Being Cringer.
Gotta love Cringer.
You gotta love Cringer.
I mean,
he's like Falstaff. He's that level of coward character. Like Scooby-Doo.
You gotta love a coward who's then shoved into very dangerous situations. Against his will.
Yeah.
Really.
Really.
I mean, it's weird that He-Man shares his power with him. He doesn't do it with anyone else. Can you do it to
anybody? He just does it on Cringer.
He's just like, no.
I know he doesn't want it, so I'm going to do it for him.
Just me and this guy. We're going to do it.
Oh, my God.
Together.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Cringer.
You know, I'm thinking about the parallels to Finn and Jake and like the sword and how he has.
Oh, yeah. Well, like, Finn is playing He-Man.
Yeah.
Like, in his mind.
In his mind.
Yeah.
And Jake can be Cringer, except Jake is brave. But Jake is more, like, laid back. He's like, oh, whatever. I don't care.
But I feel like Jake is, especially in the early episodes, right? It's really, like, the adventure is more like a boy playing adventure.
Pretending, yeah.
And I feel like Jake is more aware of it being a game.
Mm.
But Finn just lives it.
Yeah.
Now that he's an adult, like in Fionn and Cake, he's just like a man with like huge muscles and a big long beard. He's just totally, this is what his life is.
Yeah.
He's just like, I'm this guy. But yeah, it's a cat, but it's like a boy and his dog.
Yeah. Or a boy and his horse. You know, that's another common one. Okay. We're going on to the next one.
Uh-huh.
Rocket Raccoon.
Ooh, very good.
As voiced by
Bradley Cooper.
Bradley Cooper. I was gonna say Bradley Whitford, and I was like, nope, that's not right.
That would be great, though.
That would be great. And he's doing this sort of like Brooklyn accent.
Yeah.
And I love this character design. He's so cute. He's so gruff. You know, he's like a mechanical whiz. He's a genius. Yeah.
Very cynical.
Always cracking wise.
Yeah.
Scamming, seeing what he can get away with. And his partner in crime is Groot.
Yes.
And it's particularly in the first movie, I love
talking about anthropomorphization.
Yeah, of a plant, a tree. Of a yeah, tree. Yeah. And you know, people love to anthropomorphize trees too. I mean, just look around. Some people have like little faces they stick into the trees, yes, right? Yeah. They give the trees personalities. If you've ever gardened, you know that some plants can be very temperamental, yeah, to grow. Others are very easygoing. So it's like we give personalities, yeah, to everything. So there's a lot of anthropomorphizing happening in Guardians of the Galaxy. And I love their relationship. I love how protective of Groot he is. He's like, and especially once Groot becomes like a sapling, like a, yes, little baby, yeah, he's like Groot's father. He like becomes Groot's father, which is incredible to go from like a brotherly friendship to, okay, I'll become your parental figure. Mm-hmm. And like Groot makes like macaroni art for him. And the I Am Groot shorts on Disney Plus don't have a ton of Rocket Raccoon, but when, mm-hmm, he does show up, it is like a father checking in on his son, which is so funny to me. I just love the character. He's far and away my favorite of the Guardians of the Galaxy characters.
What did you think of the third film?
I didn't see the third film. I only saw the first two.
Oh my God.
And I know it's Rocket Raccoon heavy.
It's his whole story. Yeah. It's his whole origin. He's like of how
tortured.
How he became.
Medical experiments. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really. And pre being like. He's very cute.
Yeah. Regular raccoon,
it's
right?
It's sweet and heartbreaking. Yeah. And stuff.
And raccoons
but like,
are sort of
on his way. He starts as a regular raccoon, but, yeah, as he's like learning to talk, like he's like a little baby. Like it's really cute.
Oh my gosh!
But like the
it's gonna
villain,
break my heart when I see it.
No, it's hard to watch.
I adore him.
Yeah.
And I'm sort of fascinated by raccoons to begin with because they're really strange animals. They're very very unique. You know, they're mostly nocturnal. They're supposed to be nocturnal. And they look like little bandits. They look like they have masks. They have incredibly cute faces.
They have human hands,
which is wild. And they're very dexterous, right? Like they can manipulate a lot of things, yeah, in very
they're little trash pandas.
Fine-tuned ways, and they're little very fastidious. They wash their hands constantly. They are constantly have OCD. They constantly wash their hands.
You think they're just showing off to the other animals,
and also
they
frequently run on two legs, so they do look like little people.
Yeah.
Like, so it's a great choice for an animal, yeah, to make more human. And I just think it's so cute. I love Rocket Raccoon.
It's almost an easy choice to make more human,
right? Because they're very human to begin
he's
with.
He's not cuddly.
No,
they make
he's
him like
not.
This gruff guy.
Yeah, I'd be afraid that he would bite me if I tried to.
Yeah.
Give him a hug.
Yeah. I'd be afraid of a real cat. Like I find them very cute.
They're
but some,
very cute.
I've never gotten close to one, and some people do. I know people that like feed them and like.
Oh no!
Hang out with
Listen,
them.
Listen, if you, well, it's just a PSA to all of us, our friends listening. If you're bitten by a squirrel or a raccoon or a dog, I mean anything, go get a rabies shot immediately. Because I didn't know this. I feel like this should be widespread information.
Tell
but
me.
I can't believe I didn't know this. I didn't know that you can't survive rabies. Like, rabies will kill you. It is 100% death rate. Rabies will kill you. And if you don't get treated pretty soon, you'll just die of rabies. So,
my God.
I had no idea. And apparently people in rural areas are told this, like, from childhood. Like, tell me immediately if something bites you because we have to go get a shot. Like, it's not a joke. Nothing to fool around with. Rabies has 100% death rate. 100%. No one has ever survived rabies.
But you could treat it.
It is treatable. But if you don't treat it, you will die.
Well, that's true for a lot of things, isn't it?
I suppose. But
being
like the body
shot in the
can
chest
fight
without treatment probably has 100%.
Yeah, I guess. Well, I don't know. But like fevers, you know, the body can fight it
kind
on its
your
own.
Hand. I guess
this is one of those things like you cannot fight on your
the
own.
The thing that freaks me out about rabies is the hydrophobia.
Oh yeah,
you like deep in your consciousness, you don't want water.
It's
water
like
grosses you out.
Paradoxical to survival, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, that it's also like when people freeze to death
and they start
get
taking
hot,
off their clothes.
They're
yeah,
like, oh,
yeah.
God, I'm sweating.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, that's a good one.
I love Rocket Raccoon.
So going from my last one was Cringer.
Okay.
I think Cringer takes a lot from the Cowardly Lion.
Yes.
And specifically so. Played by Bert Lahr in The Wizard of Oz.
Okay. And did you see Coulson Domingo?
Yes. Very exciting.
Gay actors playing gay characters.
And as it should be. yeah, the Cowardly Lion, it's great because if you look at the original illustrations, right, it looks like a lion.
Yeah.
And the for the MGM movie, he's a dude in a lion costume. But it like it works so well. He's so charming in it. He's so likable. The idea that he like has he's cowardly, but he has fake confidence, but will easily crumble.
Yeah.
He's just so good. I mean, he's like the best.
He's such a tender heart. He cries all the time.
Yeah.
And not just from being afraid.
Yeah.
Like his feelings are hurt or he's sad about something.
Yeah, it's such a sweet performance. It's so good. I mean, the Cowardly Lion is, you know,
he's
the best.
Yeah.
He's the best. I can't wait for Wicked Part 2.
I know. It does look like a lion now. It doesn't.
Yeah.
Although it has a voice, so I guess in that way it's anthropomorphic.
The early reviews are saying it's great, and they're saying...
I loved Wicked.
Which like, people... Oh, I love it. I saw it five times.
It's... And then I saw the Broadway show this summer, and I had seen it, but like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And in watching the show, I was like, wow, Wicked the movie is so much better than I even thought.
Yeah.
And I thought it was good to begin with.
Yeah.
Like it really And the second pulls act,
I think, is weak in the show.
I agree.
And the movie, they've added a lot and changed it a lot.
Yeah, they retooled it.
First of all, they changed the whole problematic storyline of the sister becoming a witch because of resentment for not being able to walk.
Yeah.
That has been changed. And it's also changed in some versions of the play now. I think now in the West End, there's for the first time, there's an actual person who is in a wheelchair playing the character.
Oh, no, not on Broadway.
Not on Broadway.
The person walks.
Because they still have the thing where they walk. Yeah. That's not – in the movie, they changed that. Yeah. The new movie. I'm just very excited for it. It looks really good. Do you see the shot of them like making the Yellow Brick Road? Like it's like some sort of a truck or whatever, and like the bricks are coming off of it.
That's fun.
And like setting down. I can't wait for it. It looks so good. No, the first one is amazing.
Yeah.
We already got our tickets for it.
Amazing.
Next month already.
It's crazy.
Yeah, November.
I know. I love Cowardly Lion. I know, he's so sweet. He's a sweetie. We love him.
Yeah.
Is he your favorite of the three?
He holds his tail. Yes.
Yeah.
His songs are my favorite. I think we said this on the 400th episode. If I only, my favorite If I Only version is the Tin Man.
Yeah.
But.
That was all of ours.
Funny. Everything he does with the tail, he's just really going for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it.
Fantastic.
So my next pick is actually, I don't know why this character sort of reminds me of him, but I think it's because of the way they interact with real people and just how like a much of an emotional wreck they both are. So my next pick is Roger Rabbit.
Oh, yes.
Voiced by Charles Fleischer.
You bet.
No relation to the Fleischer cartoon.
I thought you meant to
Empire.
You.
Like, no relation to me.
Why would they? Why?
He actually is related to me.
Oh.
So Roger Rabbit was like a real phenomenon when it came out.
Yes, it was.
Like, I feel like it was everywhere. Or at least the images from Roger Rabbit. Like, the characters were on a lot of things. Like, Jessica Rabbit was her own juggernaut.
He would have been bigger and lasted much longer if not for the falling out between Michael Eisner and Steven Spielberg.
Okay. Well, Michael Eisner's not nice, right? Like, people don't like him.
Well, typically. I don't know.
I feel like that's the lore.
I'd rather be Michael friends Eisner. With Steven Spielberg.
Yeah.
You know?
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's interesting because, he did. It was sort of. Because
they had set him up to be like, he's going to be the next big thing.
He's going to be the next Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, exactly. And,
right.
And the weird thing about him is like, he's like, because of the movie, they poise him as like, he fits in that world even though he wasn't really there.
Yeah.
He's like a weird retro retcon of the world.
Yeah. And he has, he's in this cartoon series. Uh-huh. What is it? It's not Baby Huey. It's Baby Herman. Baby Herman. He's in the Baby Herman series.
Yeah.
But that doesn't feel like Disney at all.
No, it doesn't. It much more feels like Warner Brothers.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I always found him as this odd character, which I guess it's supposed to be the case that he is an in-between character. Like he's not totally Disney. He's not totally Warner Brothers. Yeah. I love his voice. I love all the gags that they do with him. I love that he has to follow like tune rules. Like there's certain tune things. There's like intrinsic tune qualities. So he's not played as like a real animal. Yeah. That's, I think, maybe the distinction here. It's like Rocket Raccoon is played like a real raccoon.
Yeah.
And Jake the dog within his world is a dog.
Yeah.
But Roger Rabbit is an anthropomorphic cartoon rabbit in his world. Like, he's not supposed to be a real bunny, right? I mean, I don't think so.
Yes, he isn't. Yes, yeah. But he does have some qualities. Like, he doesn't like when you touch his ears. You can't pull his ears.
Yeah, that's true. Okay.
But he does have a wife who's an anthropomorphic human lady. But not, right,
but not an actual human. Yeah. This is just tunes. It's like the tune version of everything.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess in the world of Roger Rabbit, there are actual rabbits.
Right. Just like there's actual cars.
Right.
He's not of that world.
But then you've got anthropomorphic cars that talk. And anthropomorphic bullets that talk. Like, that's everything.
Right. Everything is alive. Yeah.
Shoes.
Yeah. Right.
They die.
Oh my God. And they do that in Disneyland during Halloween. Have you seen that?
Yes, I have.
It's wild.
Trying to score everybody.
So I just feel like he's very much of a time and place, like of the 90s. Like, he was huge for a moment and then he went away.
Yeah. But he's
And I do feel like Charles Fleischer's kind of robbed in that way, because it's like, oh, this could have been.
Yeah. It could have been forever for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. You know what? He's poised for a comeback. Why don't we do some more shit with
him? Maybe.
Let's do some more.
Like, why not?
You know, let's give him the Spielberg. Let Spielberg be the one who does it all.
Yeah.
And I you're right. There was a Roger Rabbit mania that swept through the country.
Yeah.
I remember I had one of those like Roger Rabbit like cassettes, and then like it later be like, turn the page, and like you would read the story with it. Remember those things?
I do.
Yeah,
I love those. Now they're like, we got a bunch when the kids were really little. They look like tablets, kind of.
Yeah.
And then you press the buttons.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But then they have like 12 stories on them, and you get like, a 12 book set with it. All right, Roger. Okay.
Okay. Who's next? I've got two left.
Okay.
Because one of these really deserves to just be an honorable mention. Rizzo the Rat.
Oh, great pick.
One of my favorite Muppets.
Great pick.
I believe, I don't know where he started, but my first memory of him is from Muppets Take Manhattan. And the hilarious idea that it's a diner in New York, so the kitchen staff are rats.
Yeah. Is that where the Muppets are introduced to his character?
I think so.
Okay. Because then after that, he's like a Muppet.
He's around.
He's in there with them.
And but the sad thing is, he's not. They've really kind of retired him. And Pepe has kind of taken his place.
Yeah.
And Pepe's not nearly as good. And I'll be honest, he's a little bit racist. Or agreed. A lot of it racist.
Yeah.
His whole shtick is like he's a Latino.
Yeah. That's his whole thing. Like, he's into ladies. Like, I'm a hot-blooded Latino.
Yeah.
Who,
it's all problematic.
Yeah.
Rizzo was a working class guy.
I love Rizzo.
He was funny. He was a great foil to Gonzo. I almost said Gizmo. A great foil to Gonzo.
Yeah.
I love him. I love him in Christmas Carol. Mm-hmm.
That's my favorite.
Yeah. He's awesome. He's awesome in that.
I do also, though, even though I don't really love Muppet Treasure Island, because we watched it recently and I was like, oh, this is why I don't watch it as much as I watched Christmas Carol. I do like that there's a huge horde of rats in that movie because they're on a ship. So it's like a bunch of rats. But they're treating it like a cruise, like a cruise vacation.
That's funny.
Which is fun.
Well, they're also, it's all rats that work for Scrooge. When they're all like, can we have one more piece of coal?
Yeah.
And he's like, you'll be warm on the unemployment line. And then they've all got Hawaiian shirts on.
Yeah.
And they're like, this is the island in the sun.
Yes.
So funny.
Also
so
because good. Of like the implication of London being a city, like in an urban area, there's rats, like a big rat population.
Yeah, and like same thing with like Manhattan.
Right, yeah. We're still contending with rats. Yeah.
It like means something.
Yeah.
And he's also rat sized. I mean, look at like Kermit. Kermit's not frog sized.
No, he's much bigger.
Like
Rizzo
like
small.
Really is an anthropomorphized rat. But yeah, he's a little bit like Rocket. Like he's got a New Yorky attitude. He's like, I'm walking here kind of guy.
Yeah. And he's named after Dustin Hoffman's character in Midnight Cowboy.
Yeah.
So
Rizzo.
Funny.
Really funny. Yeah. He used to have his own pizzeria. It's not around anymore.
I know. That's right.
Yeah. Rizzo. Not, much more of a rat than Mickey is a mouse.
Definitely.
But he's also like, think about like Ratigan, right? Like mm-hmm. from Great Mouse Detective. Like rats are typically like considered a bad thing. Like, they're you're the a bad rat.
Yeah.
But he's a good rat.
He's a good rat.
There's nothing wrong with him.
No. He's just a little rough around the edges. That's all.
Yeah. But he means well. He doesn't do anything bad. He's not hurting anybody.
And Ratigan is ashamed of being a rat. He doesn't want anyone to say he's a rat.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
What a piece of shit.
I know. My favorite Rizzo thing ever is when, and they cut this from a lot of things, a lot of showings of Christmas Carol, when Gonzo finishes saying something to Charles Dickens, and Rizzo goes, "What?" and then kisses him on the nose.
Yes.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love him.
That's Jen's favorite part, too.
It's the best. It's the best.
It's so random.
I know. It's, right up my alley.
How many do you have left on your mean list? 10?
10. I have 3. I could have made any of these honorable mentions. That's make any of them honorable mentions. But I can do it quickly. So
whatever you want to do.
So I'm going to say, the spooky season just ended.
Yes.
And I'm going to double up and say a pair of talking cats. So Binks and Salem.
I was so worried you were going to say the Siamese cats. The
Siamese cats. We know and we love them.
From last week's episode.
So Binks especially.
Yeah.
Love Binks. Thackeray Binks, which I of course thought was Zachary Binks.
So you're putting them together.
Yeah, because they're black Halloween cats. That's all.
They're both kind of familiars.
Yeah, they're familiars. Or like, one is friend to witches and the other is an enemy of witches. Yes. They're related to witches.
Yes, that's true.
So Thackeray Binks is turned into a cat by Bette Midler. Not by her character.
by Bette Midler
herself. And I don't know who plays him. I don't remember the actor's name, but that's not who voices him.
No, he's voiced by
Max Goof. Yeah. He's voiced by Jason Marsden. It's a great voice performance. Love his voice. He's also got a little bit of an accent, like a he's like trying to affect an early colonial accent.
Yeah, it's a little hoity toity.
Yeah. And he's a teen, but they treat him like, I don't know what, like a pet, a cat.
Yeah. They domesticate him really quickly.
Yeah.
Kind of against his will. But he seems okay with being inside cat. He's okay with it.
Even though he's like the same age as Max.
Yeah. He also seems excited to talk.
Yeah.
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 Because he hasn't been talking.
He hasn't.
But he must have learned over hundreds of years, right? Because he doesn't talk to his father.
No, he doesn't.
When his father like kicks him away.
He's like, away, beast.
He must have been like trying to talk over hundreds of years.
Yeah, because he's meowing.
Like, yeah, he's like.
He learns.
Meow. Hello, meow. like a Frankenstein
monster.
Freaking
everybody out, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's like wisecracking also. And then there's the wisecrackingest cat there is, Salem, who's a very bad puppet.
Yes.
But at least Binks is like a cat.
Yeah, he's like people's favorite part of that show.
He was mine. Yeah. He was definitely mine.
A wisecracking cat.
He is there. I don't know who's one person's familiar he is. Like, I always thought Sabrina, but then I was like, wait, he was there when she got there, so he must belong to the aunts.
Yeah. In that Netflix show, he's definitely hers.
Yes. So I'm specifically talking about the ABC, the TGIF Sabrina.
Yes, of course.
Melissa Joan Hart, of course. And that cat was voiced by Nick Baquet.
Nick Baquet.
Yeah. And he's got this sort of like wisecracking voice. Like, this almost like an announcer voice.
The memes of him is just incredible.
Oh, Salem.
Him in little outfits is really funny.
I know. I know. I love Salem. I loved him then. I love him now. And what a great name for a witch's cat.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Of course.
So there you have it. And I always wanted a black cat, even though I don't like cats. I'm not a cat person. I mean, I'm not going to kick a cat, but I'm just like, it's not my cup of tea. But I love the imagery of black cats. If you see, I have like a black cat doormat in the front for Halloween. I have a black cat bowl in the kitchen. There's black cats on the windows. Like, I love the image of a black cat. And those two, I think, are definitely big influences on that.
Yeah, yeah. Binks is not a puppet. Oh, he's a puppet sometimes.
Sometimes he is, yeah. But sometimes they're using early CGI.
Yeah. And then sometimes he's just a cat.
Sometimes he's just a cat. With voiceover. Yeah.
But I didn't watch Sabrina. He's always a puppet.
He's always a puppet.
He's always stationary.
He's always like sitting on something talking. And he's because his mouth is like, they're really making it move, which is so funny.
That's hilarious. That's really hilarious. I've got one left.
Okay.
Sorry, should I do honorable mentions then?
Sure.
All right. My honorable mentions are stupid. The Great Thespian Wishbone.
Oh, what's it all about Wishbone?
Many, many things.
My favorite Wishbone is when he plays Raoul in The Phantom of the Opera.
That is amazing.
So he's the love interest.
I love when people don't treat him like he's a dog, which is always
the case. They're like,
my
love, will you take me away from here? He's like, we will be engaged.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, this little Jack Russell Terrier is going to treat me right.
He's
going to take me away from this place.
Another honorable mention are the roaches from Joe's apartment.
Oh, God.
Just the bravery and inventiveness and very 90s-ish thing of like anthropomorphizing roaches.
Yeah, it's so grunge.
And the way they all talk together, just so gross.
They're like a hive mind. I hate that movie.
Oh, yeah, it's disgusting.
I saw it and never wanted to lay eyes on it again.
And my last honorable mention would be Snowball from Rick and Morty, who was a regular cat but became anthropomorphic.
Okay, okay.
As it evolved.
I was like, remind me of Snowball.
And then had like, was it like a robotic suit and a voice?
Yes.
It was like, where are my testicles, Summer?
Yes. Wait, a cat?
Oh, no, it was a dog. A dog, yeah. Yes. Where are my testicles?
Yeah.
And then I was thinking it's really funny. Like, they show like they evolve and then like Morty's like sick. And Snowball's like, we'll have to do anything to save him. And then the other dog's like, they wouldn't do it for us. And he's like, we're not them. Which is so funny to think of a dog being like, we're so much better than people.
Yeah.
We're not them.
We're not them.
So those are my honorable mentions.
Those are good. Those are really good.
Yeah.
My honorable mention would be just one. It's Buster Moon. So are you aware of the series of movies, The Sing? Movies.
I'm aware of them. I've never seen them.
It's all anthropomorphic animals.
Singing, right? Singing hits of today. Songs. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a jukebox movie, but it's actually good. Like the characters are compelling and it works on the merit of the characters being genuinely lovable. There's a gorilla in that. And he comes from a crime family. So even in the world of the movie, people are afraid of gorillas.
Interesting.
Or, you know, people, the animal people. Buster
Moon. We were talking about gorillas last week.
That's right. Oh, that's true. Yes, that's correct. So Buster Moon is my favorite Matthew McConaughey role. I absolutely love it.
I know he's Matthew McConaughey.
It's Matthew McConaughey. And he's a little koala in a tuxedo. Oh. He's adorable. And he plays the theater owner and manager who's always trying to put on a great show and is financially insolvent and is going to lose everything. And his father worked extremely hard at a car wash just so he could buy this theater for his son because it was his dream. And now his father since passed and he cannot lose this theater. It's his life's work to keep it. So he's trying to put on one last great show and he like gets all these, it's like sort of like an American Idol type situation where he's like auditioning people. But he's doing a voice. It does not sound like Matthew McConaughey. And it is such a tender, nuanced performance that every time I watch this movie with the kids and they love it, I'm always like, God, he's so good in this role.
Yeah.
Like, he's so sweet and lovable. Yeah. And like, I just adore this character. And so I encourage you to, you know, go check out that series. It's wonderful. And he's like the most lovable animal there is, right? Like,
yeah, koalas.
Like, if you pick
cute.
Up a koala, like, they hug you. Although apparently they're very stressed out if you do that. So, you know, I don't know.
Well, they're high. What makes them sweet is they're
eucalyptus.
Super high. All
yeah.
Day.
They just eat high.
When they're not high, they're fucking strung out little monsters.
Oh. But yeah, it's very, very, very sweet. And my favorite McConaughey role. I just love him in it.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So it's like that, then True Detective?
Yeah. One and two.
Okay.
Back to back for me. That's not even a joke. I genuinely, those are my two favorite roles.
Of course. Of course. That's awesome. So my last one, I don't know if you've heard of it. It's Garfield.
Oh.
Have you ever heard of him?
We call Peter Garfield because he loves lasagna and he hates Mondays.
Hilarious. What's great about Garfield?
I had a Garfield alarm clock.
Nice.
Because Garfield was mostly merch.
I live in the house Jim Davis had.
That's the guy who tried to kill Jim Davis.
Yeah. So what's great about Garfield is he's not just an anthropomorphic cat. Because it's not anthropomorphic like where you just take a cat and you make him look and sound like a person. He is a specific type of person that's suffering of late stage capitalism. despite the fact he doesn't work, he hates Mondays.
Yeah.
Which is work culture shit.
Yeah.
He likes to overeat. He doesn't like to. He's lazy, but he's also all of us.
Yeah.
We love him for these things. Mm. You know, and it's what's funny, and this is almost like BoJack Horseman in the way he treats the animals that you eat. The way that Garfield treats Odie, which is like they're both like, because Odie's not really anthropomorphized very much at all.
No.
He's a fucking stupid dog, yeah. And Garfield's a very smart anthropomorphic cat who's like, this fucking dog is stupid, and yeah. I hate having to be around him.
Yeah.
He just wants to sleep. He just wants to watch TV.
I was just thinking of Tracy Morgan in 30 Rock as Garfield, yeah. Like filming. It's like, I hate you, Nermal.
Does hate Nermal.
Hates Nermal.
Because Nermal plays up the cuteness.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm so cute. You'd mail Nermal to Abu Dhabi. Remember that? That was a big thing that Garfield would do.
No. Although I did used to read the comic strip. I read the comic strip every comic Sunday. Strips are yeah. Good.
Garfield's good. Garfield's very good.
There's a Reddit subreddit.
Yes.
I'm sorry, John.
Have Is that the one without it? Him?
No.
Oh no, I'm thinking of Garfield without Garfield.
It's called I'm Sorry, John, and it's just like dystopian horror sci-fi drawings of Garfield.
Hilarious.
Terrorizing John.
That's so funny. I was thinking of Garfield without Garfield, which is they take old strips and just take Garfield out, and it's just a guy talking to himself. Yeah, there's a lot of fun things you could do with
it. and also the whole thing about his voice being Lorenzo Music, and then eventually in the films, Bill Murray.
Yeah.
Lorenzo
Music had done the voice of Peter Venkman, yes. So they kind of share a voice.
And also, apparently, Bill Murray lost him that job because he said, I don't like it. I don't like his portrayal of my voice. So they got Dave Coulier to do it.
Is that why?
Yeah, apparently. And so I was like, wow, he really stole the job from him again. Yeah. Piece of shit.
He might have been dead by the time
he was. I think he was actually dead, yeah.
I thought that they had nothing to do with the cartoons.
Apparently Bill Murray spoke up and said, I don't like that. I don't like that.
But Dave Coulier is just doing same shit.
The same freaking voice. Yeah, neither of them sounds like Bill Murray.
No. No, it's really interesting.
And that Peter is way hotter than Bill Murray is.
yeah, Garfield. I mean, I think there's a reason why he was a phenomenon. Because you could project your bullshit onto him.
Yeah.
He's just fucking had it.
He's all of us.
He's had it. Mm-hmm. He's fat like all of us. He enjoys Italian food like all of us.
That's it.
He don't want to work like all of us. He don't want to get out of bed.
Mm-mm.
You know, when people try to make him do shit, he's like, fuck you. Fuck you.
He's like Kathy without the anxiety, right?
Yeah.
So he's chocolate, chocolate, chocolate.
Yeah.
That's another great 30 Rock.
Yeah.
I used to read the Kathy comics when I was a child. Oh, and she like didn't work? Get most like, of it. And I was like, ice cream. Yeah. She likes that. Just like me.
Just like me. We're so similar.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, that's my list. What else you got?
Okay. My final entry is, and I'm just going to use this as a catch-all, The Ducks.
The Ducks?
The Ducks. Specifically the related ducks. I'm not going to go into Daffy, although you did send me this video to watch. Was it today that you
yeah.
did? You did. So it's all about the ducks. And why?
It was on your list before I sent
it
you
It was
that?
On my list. I was like, oh my God. You mean the Disney duck family? I'm talking about the Disney Donald, duck family. I'm talking about Scrooge. Donald, Scrooge, Huey, Dewey, Louie, Darkwing, Launchpad.
Webby. What's the girl's name?
Oh, Webby something? Webbelina? I don't know what her name is. Yes, all the ducks. Because the ducks were riding high in the 90s.
They fucking were.
They really were. And I loved Darkwing Duck. I loved.
Really, you did?
I loved. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, I don't even remember a single thing about the show, except that it kind of reminded me of Batman, and I loved Batman. And
sure.
I loved the aesthetic of Darkwing Duck. Like, I loved that he looked kind of like Dick Tracy. He kind of looked like Batman. He had a lot of purple. Purple's my, you know, was and is my favorite color. So I loved that aesthetically. But I think I liked DuckTales as a story more and the theme song. I mean, you can't go wrong. Although Darkwing Duck also has a crazy, crazy good theme song. And then
Darkwing Duck.
This is before I was really into the Disney shorts, like the Trick or Treat shorts with Huey, Dewey, and Louie and the Gorilla short, like all of those. But I love the ducks. Donald has never been my favorite character, but I just love the aesthetic of the sailor suit. I love the way he looks. And then I found it really fascinating that short that you sent, that YouTube essay that you sent me about the ducks.
West of Neverland?
Was it from West of Neverland? Oh, maybe. No.
No, wait. No, it was from someone different.
Something else. But it was really fascinating about how ducks are so popular because in cartoons. Dr. Panda. Okay. That they're sort of easy to draw.
Yeah.
That the bills take on a lot of the different expressions. Yeah. They're cute. Typically, ducks are like drawn in one color. So that makes it easy. And
they give them arms. That's a really interesting anthropomorphic like arms. Thing. Yeah, because they have wings, but...
Right, they don't use them as arms.
Yeah.
But they do as cartoon ducks. Yeah. And then the thing that really blew me away was that if you use a duck, narratively, you can do anything. You could fly, you could swim, you could be on land.
Yeah, that's true.
And it doesn't matter. You could do whatever you want.
That's really true.
So I found that so interesting. But I do love the ducks. I love that Donald is the only one that speaks that way. All of them speak very clearly.
Donald is, I don't know if it's just me. I've never understood Donald. I really get like every fourth word. What the fuck are you saying?
I don't know a word he says. And that's one of my favorite parts of the Halloween special, because when he tries to tell a scary story, everyone's like, we don't know what you're saying.
Yeah, I think it's funny, the modern like self-referential of like, what do you mean?
What?
What are you saying?
Yeah. Who was he voiced by? Clarence Nash or
He was the original guy. Yeah. It was Nash. Yeah.
And it's funny because it's like one of the things my dad can do. He can do a Donald Duck voice.
Is that right?
Yeah. And he also does like a clock sound, which is kind of funny. And my uncle who's since passed away was like, oh, does he do like when Henry was born? He's like, did he do the duck for him? I was like, yeah, he did. He goes, did he do the clock? I was like, yeah, he goes, those are his only things. That's all he's got.
That's all he's got.
And Bill is funny too, because Bill can do like two noises, and he can do like a water droplet. And that's like one of his things.
I once worked with a girl who could do it.
Who could do Donald Duck? Yeah.
Perfect. It was so out of nowhere. It was so, because it doesn't make sense. How can you do it?
Yeah.
Like, I can't even begin to imagine how to do it.
Right?
Like, it's like
my dad does not sound like Donald.
It's like imagining like flexing a muscle you don't have.
Yeah.
Like, or it's like imagining a new color that doesn't, like,
yeah.
How can you do it? But then some people can.
Yeah.
It's wild.
I don't know if my dad could still do it. I gotta ask him.
Yeah,
you can find out.
You do have to ask him.
Yeah, I gotta record him doing it for posterity. Yeah. He's getting up there. He's gonna be 82.
Wow.
Yeah, he's old. He's old.
He's an old dude.
He's got dementia. Do you know that?
No.
This is a recent diagnosis. It sucks. This episode's about ducks, so don't worry about that. But yes, all the ducks. I love the ducks. We're very like. Disney was very into ducks for a long time.
There were the Mighty Ducks cartoon.
The Mighty Ducks films, the Mighty Ducks cartoon.
Right. But in the cartoon, they were ducks.
They were ducks playing on a duck hockey team.
Yeah.
On an like ice planet.
Like you do.
I didn't really watch that show.
Neither did I.
I was like, hockey, no thanks. Even though I liked the movies.
Yeah.
All the ducks.
So you have no feelings about Daffy then?
I don't like Daffy.
I don't like Daffy
because I'm always rooting.
Maybe we dig into that?
I'm always rooting for Bugs Bunny. Whereas like... I'm always rooting for Bugs, so I don't like Daffy.
And Daffy, I think, has gotten... In latter day, Daffy is too... Like, just a whiny bastard.
Yeah.
Just like, shut the fuck up.
Which, like, with Donald's... He does have a sweetness about him. He has redeeming qualities.
He flies off the handle.
He does. And he just doesn't seem like something he can control.
Right.
Whereas Daffy just seems like smarmy.
Yes.
Like he's being a dick.
Yeah.
And Donald doesn't really seem to have power over that. And I do feel like, you know, being in the military, he does have a naval record that kind of messed him up a bit.
Yeah.
And he's dealing with some things coming back from war, probably.
Yeah.
So I have sympathy for Donald.
And of course, Daisy is just
Daisy. Love Smoke Show.
Oh my god!
Absolute gem. I love Daisy.
So out of his league.
So yeah, his carer for all I'm concerned. I mean, I'm pretty sure she is employed by the state to take care of him, I think. but yeah, love them and love Launchpad.
Launchpad's great. Scrooge is great.
Scrooge is great. Yeah, and the kids. I love the kids. I love their relationship with Scrooge. I love their relationship with Donald.
Yeah. And the kids really came into their own in DuckTales. Yes. They like have distinct personalities.
Yes. And Henry's favorite show used to be Quack Pack, which was on in the 90s. I never watched it in the 90s. I have since watched the entire series. It is this very in-your-face 90s Donald Duck and Huey, Louie, and Dewey show. But it's good. Like the adventure.
But it's not DuckTales.
No.
It was after DuckTales?
Let's see.
The Quack Pack.
Yeah.
I'm not familiar.
So let's see when Quack Pack is. And I encourage you to go see it. It's on Disney Plus. We've watched all of it. And it's good. They're very good. They're also sort of like 90s.
Oh, yes. They're very 90s.
Their aesthetic is much more 90s. They've got attitude.
Backwards hat.
They have attitude. They've got tude.
Yeah.
Oh, totally.
Oh, come on.
Love it. So Quack Pack was from, let's see. Quack Pack, I wonder if it ran concurrently because.
No, again, it had to be. Just looking 96. At those designs. Just look at those designs. Those are ducks that have listened to Nirvana.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
The ducks and DuckTales are listening to Quiet Riot. Yeah.
The opening theme was performed by Eddie Money. Love. Right. Only one season, 39 episodes in 1996.
What's the situation there? Like, they just live with the
They live with Donald, and they just get into these crazy adventures. And they got a lot of tude.
Donald's not really in DuckTales. Like, very rarely.
Donald is a cameraman who works for Daisy, and Daisy works for, like, a hard copy type show.
Incredible.
It's great. It's called What in the World? And they get into adventures because she's following these news stories. So they come along with because Donald is the cameraman.
I'm loving this. I got to watch this.
It's crazy and great. Honestly, I did not mind watching it. Henry was completely obsessed with it for a month.
They tried DuckTales? The a new DuckTales bit. I think the new DuckTales is good.
Okay, DuckTales was 87 to 90. So this is about 6 years after it ended.
Yeah.
And it only ran for one season, whereas DuckTales has. Four seasons, and 100 episodes, and one film that is very racist.
I haven't seen it since I was a baby.
It is.
Is it very racist?
It is.
Damn, I remember loving it, though.
It has to do with genies. There's a hot air balloon? With, like, a lot of racial stereotypes. No,
that's a chipmunk movie.
No, the hot air balloon. Oh, yeah, the hot air balloon is a chipmunk movie. Yeah.
Oh, so there's racism.
Yeah.
Why is I know Christopher Lloyd's the villain. Is he doing racism?
Yes, maybe.
All right, well,
I feel like he is, yeah.
He also is wearing blackface as a Klingon in one of the Star Trek movies.
Oh my god.
Klingons,
isn't he in the new series of Wednesday?
Yes, he is.
Wow.
He plays just
a head, right?
Yeah.
Very Futurama.
Yeah, yes, it is. Are they coming back again?
They
away.
Are. I would like for them to end. That show's ended seven times.
They're in Arrested Development territory.
Yeah.
Like, stay away.
Yeah.
Please.
Didn't
they have a good ending?
They had one good ending in there somewhere. Yeah. They've ended many times at this point.
Why are we still going?
Yeah, I don't know.
Who's still asking for it? Like, I remember, like, when they first went away, people were like, yeah, come back.
Yeah. I was
but
one
this
of those
is, like,
people.
The fifth time back.
I was so happy to see them, and now I'm like, oh, we got to watch this?
Yeah.
No, thanks.
Well, this has been Anthropomorphic Animals.
That's right.
This is our favorite Anthropomorphic Animals.
And this
animals.
Is, like, you know, we didn't do plenty of things like Zootopia or, you know, any of the sidekicks.
I mean, there's a lot.
Like, there's so much.
There's really a lot.
Here.
It's such a huge part of popular culture.
Yeah.
And children's programming and all of this stuff.
Aesop's Fables.
Even that's just an interesting thought. Like, why?
Why?
Like, why is it? Why do kids like watching situations, but it's not people? It's animals acting like people.
Yeah, and it's like more palatable to them.
We could have done Watership Down. I mean, there's a lot of interesting.
Yeah.
Animal Farm. I mean, get into stuff like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is one that I'll be thinking about more.
Yeah, absolutely.
How did I not think of this one?
Yeah, we could do the Dark List. The Dark List would be like Watership Down and Animal Farm and like Mouse and just like crazy shit. Yeah.
Yeah. BoJack would belong on that list.
Yeah, it would. It really would.
The Dark List. Ugh. Well, by George, we did it.
We did it.
This has been another episode of PCMC coming at you every Wednesday.
That's right.
Janine, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're my favorite anthropomorphized horse. What an insult.
Have you ever dressed as an animal for Halloween? Like, were you ever like a...
You'll see tomorrow.
Uh-oh.
I mean, this is recorded this after.
We're in November right now.
Right, of course. We're recording this as you're hearing it. No, have I?
Would you just come in as a big mouse?
That's hilarious. I've dressed as a wolf man.
Oh, okay.
That's
yeah.
as close yeah. as one gets.
Our friend Christina came in as Pizza Rat once.
That's fun. Cute. Yeah. That's
and we also cute. Anthropomorphized Pizza Rat. We're like, she's getting that pizza home to her family.
Right. Of course.
She's a single mother.
Yeah. We got very close to naming the local Staten Island minor league baseball team the Pizza Rats. And
yeah.
We didn't cross the line.
I know. It wasn't our cred to take. That's a Manhattan rat. It wasn't a Staten Island rat.
But there's a large Italian population here.
It's true. We were almost the Gabagools.
Would they have been like ghosts? Like ghost
the
meat?
The Gabagools. G-H-O-U-L. Love it.
We end every episode by saying,
go bye-bye.